two,
and here's Modi.
What's up?
What's up?
Wow.
It's just us today.
Don't ever say just us. Don't ever say just.
It's just family.
You should never say just.
No, it's like on RuPaul when they don't have a guest judge. They go, it's just family tonight.
Oh, yeah. I remember when it was an audition class I once took, and they said, when you walk into the room, don't you say, is it just you two? Like the writer's not here also,
right,
and the
right,
guy
right.
who makes the decisions, just it's just you?
Yeah, words are
never
powerful.
Never say just. It's just
it's us.
It's us. This
it's
is
us.
It. This is the podcast. You should this be glad that there's no guests. There's no Hock and Chinik about what someone else is doing. It's just us talking about what's happened. Well, last night I had two shows at Stand Up New York, and you came with Guy, your husband.
Yeah, Perio. It was so cute.
So cute. He's so sweet.
Well, he has his moments.
See that? You could just say yes instead of he has his
you're
moments.
Right. That's,
just
yeah,
yes.
Yes. He's so sweet.
Yes.
He looks very dapper.
He's very good looking. That mm-hmm. I will give him. It usually saves him.
Do you dress him?
No, not anymore.
He looked,
but
he looked
I did
very
when we,
sharp.
Thank you. I do buy him most of his clothes, but no, I just threw out everything he owns when we first started dating, and now he's good.
Oh, that's familiar.
Yes, we experienced that as well.
I think everybody experiences that.
Yes.
So first of all, I've never seen you perform a whole show before.
Really?
No.
Really?
I mean, I've seen him do sets, but I've never sat through an hour. You were so amazing. It was so fun and interesting and hysterical and smart and everything. And Guy was actually crying from laughing so hard.
Oh, that's so great.
Two shows last night, and
you
came
exhausted?
To the first one. Exhausted. He was asleep on the Uber on the way here.
I'm not exhausted from the shows. I did not sleep well last night, so that makes me a little exhausted. I don't know. I just woke up hard in the middle of the night. Boom. Not woke up hard. Woke up. I had a hard waking up.
No, you. I always say you're like an athlete, and you do these taxing. You did 2 1-hour back to back shows last night. You're yelling. You're jumping. You're screaming. You're sweating on stage, and then you come off stage, and you're on this like adrenaline rush, and then you can't just shut your body down and go to sleep. Like it affects your whole circadian rhythm. Like is it not true?
Circadian rhythm.
Is that what it's called? That's what it's called.
Is
your circadian rhythm.
Okay. I don't know.
Everyone Google it. It's called your circadian rhythm. While you're there, look up VeggieTales.
I think it
affects you.
I listened to our last podcast. It was so funny how I made the blessing on the Hamantashen. And I said, Borei Menem Zonot. And then you go, did you say Borei Zona? Zona is a
I know.
Hooker. You know
what I mean? Ben Zona.
It was just very, very funny.
It is what
it
you said.
It was just funny. But so I didn't sleep well, but the shows were great. The first show had so much more energy. People were not tired.
Yeah.
Second show, they showed up tired. They were laughing. They had a great time, but they're tired.
It's 9 o'clock on an Upper West Side.
It's 9:30.
On a Thursday.
It's 9:30. They had to sit through 5 minutes of Elon, and he did really well.
We had Lil Mo.
Altman, and then Little Mo came on, and he was so much fun. But he's, you know, when you hang backstage, he's a lot. It's
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
It's like I like
he's
people.
Excited.
He's excited, and he's so sweet, and his wife is so sweet.
Yeah,
and
she's adorable.
I love him. He's fun. He's funny, and it was just great to watch him, not in front of his audience. But the second show was tired. They were laughing, but they were like, it's. You can see that they were so tired. They're like instead of laughing, they just would clap more. You can see that, but it was a good show.
What about the Miami crowd?
We had a celebrity guest at the show last night that I didn't know was a fan of mine.
Who?
But this was at the second show, right?
The second show he came.
What was his name?
Hank Aziz.
The designer?
No, he's an actor. He's an amazing actor. I'm a big fan of his.
Well, let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Hank, hello.
Hank.
I'll be reaching out soon.
Hank.
He plays.
He does the voiceovers on The Simpsons.
Done a million things, but I say his name right.
Hank Azaria.
I see him sitting there. I thought he came for Little Mo, but he said, no, I'm a fan of yours. And I follow you on Instagram, and I... I love. He's Syrian Jewish, and it's funny. He's a million things he does, but I know him from Agador on Birdcage.
That's who he is.
That's who he is. Agador.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Well, Elon told me he also does a lot of the voiceovers on The Simpsons.
Yes, that's where everybody knows him from. But okay. I know
he's
from
so
Agador.
Cute.
He's the best. He was nice. So sweet and so nice. And we took pictures afterwards, and he's like, "I'm just a fan. I saw you doing a show, and I came." I'm like, "Wow."
That's so cool.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. It was fun.
Did you do the same show both times?
Nah, I kind of like Mo didn't get them right away, so I kind of had to be my own opening act. So I did these like two bits that I know just gets them all excited. But it was a little bit different show. But that was what it was. And we had a show at the Improv in Miami.
That was really good.
So good. It was so good.
Wait, are we done with last night?
Oh, and I'd be happy to continue with last night.
Somebody came up to me and they were like, "Oh my God, I love the podcast so much. I've listened to every episode."
That's so sweet.
No, and people also would...
Someone in Boston came up to me because you didn't have an opening act in Boston. That's so true. I just walked up on stage and I was like, "Ladies and gentlemen." And I was like, "Don't worry, I'm not a comedian," was my opening line. So they were like, "Oh, who's this putz we have to sit through?" I was like, "I'm not a comedian." And then I introduced you. And then someone was like, "Oh, that's Leo." And then they came up after the show and they're like, "We love the podcast."
I'm such a cheap bastard that I don't have opening acts with me. It's not the money so much, is that like you just have to worry about where they are.
This is the thing. Modi doesn't the hang backstage in the green room or the car ride there. You have to be on the same wavelength.
I'm saying this. I'm nominating myself
for the hang.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm nominating myself for your opening act. I'm nominating myself to do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. I'm fully nominating.
I keep saying
myself.
I need to get a hot 10 together.
Yeah,
because I'm at all these shows.
If you could just get 5 minutes of comedy together and da 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 and this and this and that and da da and two Jews walk into a bar, ladies and gentlemen, here's Modi next.
That would have been useful in Boston and in DC.
But I also like just going up raw. I just like
we're doing this podcast raw.
No, would you stop with the raw?
And then
yes,
the merch.
Oh, we sold yarmulkes yesterday.
So
we have a little Venmo thing, and people just clicked, and they bought the yarmulkes, and it was so much fun. God, it was fun to sell merch again. It's been years.
It's amazing.
It's so fun. Yeah.
Sold a few yarmulkes.
How much are yarmulkes?
$20.
Nice.
And all proceeds go right to my mortgage. They go right to my mortgage at Wells Fargo.
I haven't
Now, there's no administrational costs. It goes right into that mortgage.
Yeah.
I mean, I should be to the. Although you know what I did, I will tell you, I had a moment this week. Okay, I have these Adidas sunglasses that I love, mm-hmm. and you see me doing Near in them, mm-hmm. and
they're very nice sunglasses.
And I have my Ray-Ban prescription glasses, and I had them in my bag, and they were stolen from the gym, and I was beside myself. I was like, I felt violated, and I couldn't believe it was happening, and I was just like, it's $1,000 worth of glasses and
both
all that.
Both of them got stolen?
Yeah.
They didn't take your Adidas. They took
the Adidas and they took the Ray-Bans. They saw the two cases and just picked them up and left with
them.
They
took your reading glasses and your
reading
sunglasses.
Because they saw like the Ray-Ban case, and which is the Ray-Bans, how much is $250 the most it could be. But the Adidas are like $850.
Yeah.
So you experienced this loss.
So I experienced this loss, and I was then so upset that I was so upset about it. And then you watch the news and you see people in Ukraine who've had their lives stolen from them. So I took the money that it would have cost to buy them and rebought both of them. But I also gave the same amount to my trainer, Stan, who we should get on the podcast. And told him to send it to whoever he knows in Ukraine that needs this money.
He's like, "I'll send it to myself."
No.
Or his parents.
His mom is in it.
His mom is in a bomb shelter.
Where is she?
North of, I don't know where she is, but
does she want an Operation Fuck Putin sweatshirt?
No, yeah.
We can send her stuff. I'm getting.
She'll give him one for sure. Mm-hmm. Stan, yeah.
I'm not giving them away, Mr. Selling $20 yarmulkes.
I'll be happy to buy him one. How much are the sweatshirts?
Well, it depends.
No, how much?
They're 180.
Okay.
Or they're 118 or they're 72.
Oh, it's whatever your mind. Oh my God. It reminds me. I told you, I think I told this on this podcast before when I sold CDs. I used to have one side said $15 and one side said $10. It was the last show of the.
You don't want to schlep
I don't want to schlep on a bag. You know, to schlep CDs in a plane home is like the last thing you want to do.
That's so, amazing.
Yeah. But so that's what it is. You've been unhinged lately. I've been watching you on Instagram here and there screaming and yelling at the top of your voice. What are you going through?
I think I found my sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, if you have a different podcast you're doing or something, what are you
doing? No.
It's the Sellers podcast. You've just been screaming.
I've just been making videos. I'm just making videos. It's not anything. You're smart, though. You're keeping the money from your merch. I'm like an idiot giving it away.
No, I give charity when I give charity. I don't mix two things. You don't mix.
I know what that means.
But you know, so it's like when I give charity, I give charity. When I don't, you know.
I think we should do merch.
Okay.
I think
everyone write in.
Everybody
what kind
write
of
in. I'm
and
voting.
And here's Modi merch that you want.
I think we should do a sick. First of all, those sweatshirts are
so
sick.
Good. They're no, so they're good amazing. On so many levels. Can I talk about the sweatshirts for a second? I'm very particular about everything. The collar is. Amazing. Yeah. The collar is next level. It is an inch and a quarter. I can tell. And it's done well. So it closes up. So it gets your back done nice. The cut on the arms is great. And it's the fabric where it's not that.
And the person wearing it is
no,
just
no.
Delicious.
Chatich on every level. But like inside of it, it's that.
It's like terry almost.
It's like terry cloth.
It's French terry.
It's not that.
See, I know.
It's not that dreck that
No. This is shout out Asher, Los Angeles, Yael.
These are the sweatshirts Periel made for the Hummingbird Foundation.
Yes.
Which is benefiting Ukrainian
women and children
in need.
Those are sick.
This is Operation Fuck Putin for
I think we should do one that says in very small letters. I think we should do a black one that says near, not far.
We tried that once. The quality was bad, but I'm
well, we used a bad vendor.
We did a bad vendor, yeah.
Yeah, see, it's really, I know a lot about this.
I know.
But
you
like
do.
Even like a little, just like somewhere, just very small, so that like it's like chic.
Mm-hmm.
In like,
I think women would buy shirts that say "I'm Stacy."
Oh,
for sure.
I think you have a lot of fans who like
Stacy
are into this. You posted a picture of
me and Dina
and people lost it in the comments.
What did they say?
They thought it was Stacy reveal. Which was, I guess I'm saying now it wasn't a Stacy reveal.
It's Dina. It's my best.
It's
friend.
It's your best friend Dina. But they were like, "Oh, this is Stacy. You guys are beautiful." Everyone was fully convinced that Dina is.
I want to tell you, we both looked so good.
Yeah,
sometimes a picture just hits and it's so good. Yeah. We were in this chic restaurant. What was that?
You guys are always in a chic restaurant.
There's restaurants in New York, you know, that.
I get like this drecky coffee from you guys, and every time I see a picture of you, you're in some like fabulous
That's
restaurant.
Not true.
What does it say here? What's the location?
Majorelle.
It's on like 62nd between Madison and Park or whatever. You'd never know it's a restaurant. It's in back of a hotel. 18 people serving the table. And
yeah, it's very intense. I had some very intense dining experiences last week with my friends in Palm Beach.
Wow. You did
what
that.
Is going yeah. on so, with the two of you and Florida? It makes me nervous every time Florida's you go.
Florida's popping. Florida is a vibe.
Florida's a popping and it's a vibe.
Someone who's
and
from
next
Florida.
Year, we're already booking the Airbnb for all of January.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't love it. I'm just going to be.
Let me tell you something. So Modi had his show at the Miami Improv in Miami. And then I took the Bright Line, which is this new train. And that goes from Miami to Fort Lauderdale to West Palm Beach. Beautiful, gorgeous, like something out of Europe or Japan, like high speed, super clean, luxury, like train. And I was like, wow, is this what it's like to have infrastructure in the country? Like, because our country has no infrastructure. It was so nice and pleasant to ride.
How long did it take?
Like an hour and a half.
Wow.
And there was like drinks and snacks and Wi-Fi and like.
Drinks and snacks. And
I was so happy, but we went. To the Palm Beach Yacht Club, but I got you that hat.
Yes. Not the one I wanted, but it was close.
I know
close
it's not
enough.
The one you wanted. The Palm Beach Yacht Club, that was an intense dining
experience.
That's the club
experience. That doesn't let Jews in.
Yeah, you have to wear a jacket. It's like a
whole
thing.
They don't let Jews in?
I mean,
I'm
not
sure
officially.
They do, not officially, but they're not looking for, you know,
if Mordechai Rosenfeld Horowitz.
I'm sure there's a few that are in there that are just, you know.
Yeah, and it was the Palm Beach International Boat Show happening as well.
You know the joke with the guy who wants to join a club?
No, tell me.
So there's a guy, there's a club that doesn't let Jews in. So he tells his friend, Hugh, I want I should be a member of your club. He said, listen, Mo, when you go there, don't tell him you're Jewish. Don't tell him your name is Mo Ginstein. Don't tell him you have a big Cadillac. Don't tell him the kids go to Brandeis University. You got to fudge it up. So Mo goes to the club, says to the guy behind the desk, I want I should be a member. I said, sir, what's your name? He goes, Jack Smith. So what kind of a car do you have? A Saab. Where do your kids go to school? Yale. So what's your religion? Goyish. I'm Goyish. It's one of the oldest jokes.
You talked about Goyim last night for
I did.
Quite a bit.
I've been leaning into, in a fun, respectable way, Goyim.
You've had some industry people tell you to watch the Goyim.
Why?
Language.
What do you mean? You can call somebody a Goy. It's not a bad thing.
Listen, if they can call us Jews, we can call them Goys.
It's also how you say it.
Wow.
I said, if they can call us space Jews, we can call them Goyim. I just talk about, you know, how I love to watch. Like, I really do love to watch television shows that are about Goyim. Like American Pickers and the Swamp People.
That's
amazing. The ones that live in Alaska and the ones that live in God knows where. It's much easier for me to watch that than to watch Curb and Steinfeld and Jewishy-based type
of
humor.
Right.
I love watching them just...
The bit about the American Pickers, I was on the floor.
It was good. It came out good yesterday.
So funny.
Yeah,
and then the thing fell off stage right in the middle.
I kept banging
that was God.
Back.
I'm like, only Modi, something like that is going to...
The air vent fell out of the thing on stage and you incorporated it seamlessly.
Yes, it was very funny. Yeah, I kept banging the back of that wall. And so that the vent came off. And then I turned to Mo, who's in construction. And I go, is this your job? Is this a gig you did here? Of course, he's not paying attention. He's on his phone. He has no attention span.
Zero
attention span.
He's like a butterfly.
Yep. He's like a butterfly.
Yeah, you should see him upstairs. He was like pacing.
Pacing. Oh, so I'm going to tell this joke. I'm like, Dad, the guy got me this tikini. The guy is so funny.
He's so sweet. He texted me, too. He was like, I wanted to ask you, how'd I do?
No, but by the end, when he was on the podcast, he was like telling you all about how he hates like comedian terminology and lingo. And by the end of the night, he was like, I'm going to get some bits together. I'm going to get my set down.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, look who's a comedian now.
But also he's like, he doesn't want any constructive criticism.
Oh, no,
right?
You just have to gas him up.
I was like, you're
magnificent.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You're magnificent.
You are so funny, yes. And he really is. He just has to talk to the people. In the first set, he went up with sunglasses, and he's looking at the people and goes, you. And the guy has no idea. He's looking at him. I go, Mo, you got to take the glasses off if you're looking, talking to someone in the audience.
He also had his back toward the audience.
He didn't realize he was...
you were fantastic.
Fantastic.
He was good.
He was good. And he's going to do great. And he's I want to do a show with him called Pizza Bagel.
Oh, amazing.
So it's going to be so much fun. And he's energy like that, but he's good people energy.
He's wonderful.
He's wonderful. Yeah.
And you were amazing too. It really impressed me that there was this guy in the front row essentially that was...
Shwasted.
I mean, completely out of
I was
control.
Kind of embarrassed. He was like an older gentleman.
And he was throwing his hands up in the air. He was having a good time.
Yeah, but it was kind of embarrassing to watch. I actually stepped outside at one point when they were doing Last Call. And I said, you probably shouldn't give him more to drink. But they didn't listen to me.
No, they didn't listen.
Because he was getting rowdy.
But I just worked around. You can also see when he's about to go off. And there's also the second show, there's a woman who kept, like when I was setting up jokes, she'd be like, oh, that's right. That always happens. Like in the front row screaming. I'm like, really? Can't you just be asleep like everybody else in the room?
The other night we had dinner with Matteo Lane and he said that he started his show. Oh, wow. And someone in the front row who was like a mega fan shouted out the punchline of like his first joke before he got to it. And he had him removed immediately from the show. And the guy was like, he told the, it was an amazing story. I was like, you should, because these people, even though he's coming from like a place out of love, I guess, this person who knows Matteo Lane's bits, like it ruins the experience for everyone else. Experience,
yeah. We had a show a few weeks ago that Judy Gold had a super fan there sitting in the front row, would not shut up screaming. And Judy was just like, if you don't shut the fuck up.
She's so, yeah.
It was a very good Judy impression.
Thank you. I spend a lot of time talking to Judy.
I think with comedians, people get this weird sense that they're like your friend after they see you once or twice.
Look at the expression on his face.
Comedians, do you not agree? Yes, like people absolutely get this weird inclination to, I think,
they want to participate.
Yeah, they're like, this is our show now. You're like,
right? No, but I it's not that bad. Usually, come on. It's don't forget, it's also a very intimate club. I'm very close to the people.
Okay, but
it's a big difference. It makes a big difference.
Listen. Part of it is that there are two things. One of them is that people think that if you address them, then they then have carte blanche to chat with you. Yeah.
That's why I never address people.
Right. So that's the other thing that's interesting that you said, because somebody shouted something out and you were like, what? Like, I wasn't really.
Yeah, you're like, I usually don't talk to the audience. Like,
I just want to get my material going. If I have to, if they yell out and I address it and then bring it back, but I prefer to not. Some crazy woman at the Improv front row was just
engaged in full conversation.
Full. And just she began ranting with this accent that made no sense whatsoever. Like, it wasn't a New York accent. And that's why I was going to be with, but you could tell she's off.
Was she drunk?
She was on the spectrum. Oh, she wasn't
careful.
Drunk.
I don't know. I don't know if she's listening. She was a big fan.
She's a big fan, but
But you just locked eyes with her and she just fully engaged. Boom. Like, full conversation mode. Like, we're best friends now.
Boom.
From, like, while you're on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Well, the other thing is that I think that part of the job is that it's meant to look easy, right? Like, it's meant to look like it's not rehearsed. Like, people sometimes, I think, don't understand that there's like a set that like you've been working on for years or weeks, or so they think you're just talking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they also take that as an invitation to like chime in.
Mm-hmm. Right. I am working on a set for a taping, which has a beginning, middle, and end, but you have to always be able to pop in and out of it. And the cadence of last night was a lot more material into 1 hour than a 1 hour special would be. So I was able to do all that new stuff with the Gayish television.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
There was more material last night than you would do.
Yeah.
Why?
Because there just was. Just I was able to speed, go bang, bang,
because
bang, bang,
you wanted bang, to bang, get bang, through bang. A bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of looking good, the photo that's being used to promote this new special that you're taping is really, and I worked in photography for a very long time with some of the best of the best, is really one of the fucking most iconic photos I've seen in a long time. Can somebody pull it up? No, we can't.
I can. I'll add it to the video feed.
But that's the
talented photographer Daniel Lee.
And what's the photo? Whose idea was that?
You've been listening to Poog too much because your voice is very. You're just speaking very much like the two girls on Poog.
I'm also exhausted.
Yeah. Okay.
You worked hard last night, too.
I'm always working hard.
I know you are.
You can't stop.
I know.
It's just like, it can't stop.
Also, if I'm sounding like Poog, I'm going to take that as a big
compliment. We listen to Poog. That's the only one of the only podcasts I listen to.
It's because I made you listen to it on the way to these shows in the car.
It's
for hours.
Brain numbing. These two yentas talking about health creams and it's just really cute.
POOG.
Oh, you I am also now accepting inquiries for advertisements on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're sifting through we're going to accept 10 initially.
I had a commercial come out this week, which was fun.
You did?
Yeah, yeah. You did a commercial as Yoeli.
As Yoeli. It was so good.
I want to see it. How come nobody sends me anything?
Don't you watch my Instagram?
Yes.
So it was a post on my Instagram.
I didn't see it. Do you watch your Instagram?
No.
So it's this coffee called Gaia Coffee.
Okay.
So I did...
And what's so special about this coffee is that you can make it on Shabbos because it's in a tea bag and it's not an actual coffee.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was joking.
I mean...
Okay. No. I'm caught up in the part that you can make it on Shabbat because... Which is... That joke is brilliant too, by the way.
What?
The difference between the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi... How they say
it. The Al Jazeera, the Al Qaeda.
Is that you can make it on Shabbat because it's a tea bag? What kind of nonsense made up cockamamie?
You can't brew like a barista coffee. So it's on the Sabbath, you can't cook, period. Now, the ticket
and
from
making
there,
coffee is considered cooking.
Now, making coffee that's not instant, that comes out of a second cup, then it's okay.
Is that what God said?
That's what God said. God said when he gave Moses the commandments, is look, just don't forget to add no coffee on Shabbos. But Moses says they need to have some kind of coffee. So they said instant, okay, instant.
Yeah.
But this company.
Let there be Gaia.
Yeah.
Let so there be Gaia. Is that their tagline?
No, but I just made it up.
I just made it up.
That's very.
I'm brilliant. I don't know. You guys are just coming around to this.
Nobody has ever taken that away from you.
But it was, they're very sweet and they're very good and they taste very good. And they gave me this $3,000 coffee machine.
Oh, they give you a sick coffee machine. It's like full Delta
Jura?
Lounge.
Is it a Jura?
Yeah, it's a Jura.
A Jura. It's you have that?
Like the touch screen and like.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not. I have like. Not that fancy.
It's ours has like a hose. It's like a dialysis machine.
Do you have the milk attachment for it?
Into the milk.
I don't have that because I didn't want
for
that. I don't
latte
use that.
And schmatte.
I had to. Yeah.
It's that thing is just so that you guys know. Yeah. It's like
it's the size of a Mini Cooper.
No, but it's also like Guy calls it his girlfriend because it is so high maintenance, that machine. It's amazing.
It is
like a real relationship.
She cleans herself out.
No, she doesn't. You have to.
All of a sudden.
It's a whole thing.
It sounds like a Starbucks. And
it's so good.
And you put the beans in the top. Yeah, it's amazing.
It changed a lot of things for us. No, it's a next level.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. I'm so appreciative.
But we won't use it on Shabbos. We'll use the.
Can I ask you a question? You put something on Instagram. I don't know which one of you was answering me. It was a grave or a thing with notes everywhere. What's going on? Please.
I went to the Rebbe's grave. I went to visit my parents that live in the Five Towns. And just 20-minute drive from there is where the Lubavitch Rebbe is buried.
Which one? Menachem Schneerson?
Menachem Schneerson of sacred memory. He is buried there. And it's an amazing...
He's buried in the Five Towns?
No, he's buried in Queens, but it's from the Five Towns to 20-minute drive from the Five Towns.
Why isn't he buried in Israel?
I've been there.
Because he's not. Because he's buried next to his father-in-law, who was the previous Rebbe.
Why aren't these people buried in Israel?
Because they don't need to be buried in Israel. That's where you get worried about where they're buried?
I would imagine that these great...
There's many great rabbis buried in Israel.
And in Ukraine, apparently.
And in Ukraine.
And in Ukraine.
Yes.
But in Queens?
In Queens.
I mean, with all due respect, I'm from Queens.
But. Yes. And no, but it's an amazing place. And you
people,
go there
with the notes.
You write notes. So you write a note and about people's names and their mother's name, whoever needs whatever they need, a blessing, health, success, marriage. And then you, at the grave, you read it with some Tehillim, with some Psalms, and you... Like he used to do, he would read it and then rip it and throw it in front of the grave. And so
it's very intense.
It's very intense.
Is it like the Wailing Wall? Like you put a prayer in? Is it that kind of?
It's similar.
Similar, yeah. Very similar. Good analogy.
Because I saw it on Instagram and I was like, what? I thought he went to like a shredding event.
No, I was in my mother and father's house. And then I'm pulling out and I'm like, you know what? I wasn't in a rush. And I went to the grave. And also Passover's coming up. You got to get into the headspace of Passover.
Oh, what is the headspace of Passover?
Passover is...
booking lots of one-way tickets. Headspace of Passover.
To where?
We have to book all your Passover travel. It's stressing me out.
I have a show in New Jersey, then Arizona, then back in New Jersey, and then in Palm Beach. But
this is all like back to back.
No, but spiritually, you got to get into the headspace of Seder and order in your life. And some restriction and getting your ego out of your life a little bit. And that's if you connect to the Passover energy of that. It's amazing.
Why are you bouncing?
I don't know. I mean, the coffee just hit. Oh, the coffee and half an Adderall. Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
Good morning.
Good morning. I forgot I took the half an Adderall.
I saw something interesting on Twitter regarding Passover.
And?
On Jewish Twitter.
What's Jewish Twitter?
The Jewish side of Twitter.
Okay.
I don't know. I was in your Twitter, so it's like Jewy in there. And the people were very... they were discussing at length the concept of like these places where you can go and have like your whole Seder prepared for you so you don't have to do anything. Like the egg and the this and the celery, all those things, right?
Right.
And one of the things you need is salt water.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so apparently some of these services, I don't know, the HelloFresh of Passovers.
I can't.
Were giving little pouches of salt water. And this was a very big topic of like whether or not you should... Like, if you can't even do that, I guess is what they were saying,
yeah, really?
Then you're just, like, not really connecting, I guess, to the Passover headspace.
That's insane.
Some people were like, oh, it's some people, you know, are older and it's just easier for them to do this. And some people just, you know, have families. But it was the bagged salt water was interesting. It was a very...
Wow, that's on Twitter.
You said yesterday that the holiday begins with a flashlight.
Oh, hilarious.
A feather.
That's also on Instagram.
Is that true?
One of the ways let's do this right. Okay. So chametz, which is the leavened bread, also represents ego.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know.
Okay. Did you know that?
We burn off our last portion. So you collect all the ego that's in the house, all the chametz.
Is this true? I have never heard
spiritual,
this before. This is amazing.
This is the spiritual connection to Passover. Not, there's a physical, the things you have to do. You have to clean, you have to have this, you have to have that, you have to have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Put tinfoil and all that. But there's a spiritual... There's a spiritual connection that you have to do. And it's and chametz, which is the leavened bread, is representative of ego. So you collect all the ego you have. Or all the chametz, and you...
Pleasure.
Thank you. And then you get rid of it for these 8 days.
You can sell it to another person.
You can sell
it. That is the Jewiest thing I have ever heard in my life. Who are you selling it to?
And then you
to?
Burn.
Or you burn you
keep,
it, right?
You keep a little bit of the that's left of the chametz. You collect it with a feather and you burn it. Some people burn notes of things that they want to really get out of their life as well. Like... neediness and codependency and things that are a part of the ego, you can burn that with it as well. And so that is how Passover begins. Yeah.
So, and the concept...
What's really crazy is, and this is like, you know, I make a living off of people who just go and check themselves in for a Passover program.
Right, I was going to say, explain how the Passover programs relate to this. So instead of doing all of this preparation at the home, they say, I'm just going to leave my home and check into this kosher for Passover hotel.
Pro, yes.
That has done all these things.
Right.
In theory, that's okay. What it is, right?
That's outrageous. Let's start
you
there.
You really are the bit I have in my act about how when you explain crazy things we do to people who aren't Jewish, they love it. And when you explain crazy things that Jews do to people who are not religious, they just can't grasp it.
It's insane. What is that? You leave your house, but you go check into like a swanky hotel. So now you're following all the rules.
It's all you're following the rules, but are you connecting to it spiritually? Are you?
I went with you last year to some pretty intense Passover programs.
Yeah.
And I think I understood it because I think by going to this, yes, you're checking into the swanky hotel, and it's ultimately, like, I think a little bit of a vacation for all these people. But I think there was a big sense of community there.
Yes.
And doing the Shabbat, or that was Shabbat, does that, you do the same thing it's on Passover. There was all these meals together, and they were doing mincha.
Yeah.
And then you had a comedy night, like.
Yeah, it was a very nice thing. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a beautiful thing. Just make sure you connect to what the holiday is about. And that's.
I do
checking
it,
your ego in for 8 days.
I
and
didn't
then,
know that. I had no idea that that the Passover was about checking your ego.
It's a big part of it.
That's very interesting.
It's a very big part.
How do you think like, I got through years of education? Nobody ever said that to me.
Yeah, they just tell you make sure you don't eat bread and don't eat pizza, but it's
matzo
pizza, but sushi
delicious.
Till you could die.
No,
as
long as it's with quinoa, you can eat sushi.
Oh, yeah, it's quinoa. Oh, God.
I know. Wait, just relax. And the seder itself is order. So you're bringing order into your life. So all the things, all the steps we do, you do it in the consciousness of bringing order into your life. So now this is coming up. So you can't just like a day before, hey, Passover's here, let's do it. You got to be like, all right, Passover's coming. All right, let's make sure. I went to my mother's house and picked up the Haggadot because we're doing it in our house. And so it's, and the plates and this and that. And then so it's exciting. It's a very, my cousin's coming from Israel.
So I make them very exciting. Every Jewish holiday is like a big thing at our house because I do it for Ari.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I want him to have these memories and these celebrations. So, I have little, you know.
I would invite her to our Seder, but could you imagine? It's like everything we get in the Haggadah and Alach Ma'anya. Why are we eating bread of affliction? Why does it have to be affliction? Why are we afflicting?
How long is the service? Like, do you breeze through that or are you like, it's endless?
We read the whole Haggadah. We read the whole.
For dessert.
The whole.
And then I look for the Afikoman.
Afikoman.
Do you?
No.
Did you like a Batman figure
yes,
at the end?
So what do you do for Ari?
Oh my God, we make Seder plates. Like I buy like a big ceramic plate, and he draws, you know,
that's
everything,
so nice.
And then I bake it in the oven. So we have like a few different Seder plates throughout the years. Oh. I have all the plagues as like little toys. I put little frogs all over.
Can I tell you a funny story? I'm just remembering this now. You're going to die. So there's two seders. I only hold by one. We're born in Israel. We just one seder. That's it. It's enough.
In Israel, they only do one.
Yes.
Here, they do two.
They do two. Okay. So
you have to give extra because you're not
I forgot in how long ago this was, but somebody found me to do the second seder for a country, I think it was Alpine Country Club,
mm-hmm.
or right next to Alpine in New Jersey. So they had a second Seder for the members.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And they brought me.
I already love this story.
And they brought me to do it. And they paid a lot of money back in the day. Back in there was a lot of money for me. I was like, perfect. And I was like, I came in, you know, with the black suit and the hat and the whole thing and like sat down there. Everybody's like, oh, you know. And it's funny because they've also seen me as a comedian. So I'm like, okay, now I'm doing the Seder. And everybody had on their table, and I walked them through what to do. And then we go to read the Haggadah. And I would say, and now we're in, you know, Manish Tana, we get some kid to do it. I go, and now we're going to do what's called the leap of faith and go from page 18 to 32. And boom. And
sure
that
they
was
appreciate
it.
Right, that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because they don't need to read all about the.
That's what I'm going to start calling it, the leap of faith. I breeze through that.
But
thing.
We read it in English or
in
Hebrew.
We do it in Hebrew.
Yeah, so we read through it, and it's again, you put a little restriction before you eat. It's a very nice holiday. It's a very.
I love all the Jewish holidays. I do every single one. I deck the house out. It's like a rock and roll Kim Kushner thing going on. You'd be very surprised.
Are you
going
to do Christmas for him like Alex Edelman's mom did?
I do Christmas for him.
Who, by the way, Alex Edelman's mom came up after the Boston show and was so nice.
She's so sweet.
Aww.
His parents are
so
the sweetest.
Nice.
So sweet.
And I was like, is that true, that Christmas story? And she was like, yes.
Oh, wow.
And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you have to go see the show.
You have to go see the show. The show is great. And yes, I do Christmas also, but I'm not allowed to have a tree. I wouldn't have a tree anyway, necessarily.
Trees are... It's so, you know what's depressing is like in February when you see trees on the sidewalk.
No. You're like,
what? Get your life together.
So we go Hanukkah, Christmas. I do every, you know, it's like, it's nice for him. He's little. I think you have those memories. It's fun.
Christmas was never missing in my life. I didn't need that.
All right.
No, I'm just saying. I get it. It's very nice. And it's beautiful. The lights, they put everything, but it's...
So we have... I have a little Santa that I put.
Of course you do.
But he's black.
Okay.
I have black Santa because the first time Ari had Christmas, we were in Jamaica.
Oh, my God.
And the first time he met Santa, Santa came up on a motorboat.
Oh, wow.
And he was wearing shorts and like a Santa hat. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And he said, have you been a good boy? Now, I didn't grow up with Santa, so I didn't know that you were supposed to like tell kids. I was like, oh, Santa's not real. You know, like after that happened, and Ari, he must have been like 4 at the time, became livid. And he said, Santa is real, and I know he's real because I met him, and he's from Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
So we have a black Jamaican God. Santa in our house.
That's very, very sweet. It's a cute story.
Wait, Santa's not real? No.
What else happened this week? We had the slap across the face of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock across the face, which was...
I watched live.
Wow.
I'm so interested in your...
I'm so in shock that I don't care as much as everybody else. Everybody kept posting and posting, and they couldn't get the one liner out, and they could, It was, I was like, wow. It didn't hit me till like 2 days later.
No pun intended.
Folks.
Here all week.
I was like, wow. It's just like, wow.
What was surprising to me was that so many people were on Will Smith's side. Like almost a 50, like even split.
How does
like,
that surprise you?
Because he's
the world, that's just what it is now. After this vaccine and the pandemic, everything now is an opportunity for people to split.
I think also,
am I right or wrong? Vaccine.
Handle.
He says yes, I say no.
DAFKA.
It's DAFKA.
Means intentionally or because you can.
And so this was,
think people are looking for a reason to fly off the handle.
People are looking for a reason to be unhinged. And so they went with the angle of he's protecting it. Tiffany Haddish said that it's nice to see a black man stick up for his wife. Is that something she should have said? I don't know.
If Tiffany wants to discuss it, she can get in touch with us.
I don't know. I'm not saying she shouldn't say that. That's her right to say what she would, but she went on that angle. Granted,
even if Chris Rock went up and called his wife the C word, you still can't go.
You can't touch people.
Like,
you just can't.
I thought we established that.
It is so outrageous. It's like the fact that it's even a conversation.
I love that you schlep on the S's rather than the I's. So usually Bill goes, I don't really understand. But you are always on. So I think it's in such a – you're on the S. You schlep your S's. You're on the S's. Instead. Usually people schlep on the I's. I don't think he should be that big. But you schlep on the S's, which is fine. It's original. It's an original schlep.
But there's all sorts of crazy things coming out. Like apparently that they didn't just ask him to leave. They had like police there ready to take him out. And the one like –
They should have taken him out. They should have removed him immediately.
I asked Chris Rock if he wanted to press charges, and he said no. That would not look cute for him to be taken out in handcuffs.
Yeah, that would
Although they had the police there.
Last night,
I was reading all into it, so it was... No, listen, Chris Rock was put into a position where he had the ability to forgive, and he forgave.
And Chris Rock is amazing, but you don't need Chris Rock. Like, he assaulted somebody. That's the DA. That has nothing to do with Chris Rock. Like, it's all on film. Like, you can't just hit somebody because you don't like what they say.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in all of the years that you've been doing stand-up?
I think I told the story one time on...
Someone flashed a gun.
Flashed a gun. I dropped the mic and ran out of the...
I think we discussed this.
And then the time that I called that guy's girlfriend the C-word.
Oh, yeah. And then you almost wanted him to punch
you. I wanted him to punch me. We talked about this once.
The C word, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't.
Okay.
It's just there's three times in my career I've used it. And the person really was it.
Why is this word so taboo?
I don't know. I really don't know. There's a party of like 12 stage left at the comic strip, and they were drunk, and every comic coming off was like, that table's out of control. And now I'm closing the show. There's a check spot, and they're still, now they're an hour and a half into out of control. I start the show. I got the room. The table began being rowdy. I was able to turn the entire room against the table. The woman was out of control, and I called her a C word. And then afterwards, the club, now I know how the club is set up and where the security cameras are. And this guy wouldn't pay his check. So the manager said, do me a favor. We called the police, but till they come, could you just come out there? He wants to talk to you. And this could be interesting. I went out there. I saw exactly where the camera is. I know it's being taped. And I see him. He's like a well-put-together guy. He had a Rolex, clean. He's just drunk.
Why did he want to talk to you, though?
Because the guy called his girlfriend the C word. So now we're there. The bouncer is kind of in between us. We're kind of just waiting for the cops to show up. And he goes, you called my wife you called my wife a C word. I said, no, I called her a filthy C. and he was like, I was ready for him to hit me. I'm like, this guy hits me. I can make a few bucks. There's a camera. He hits me. There's a few bucks. As he was like about to, blah, 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 the cops walked in. He became like a little bitch and he paid his check and ran out. That was the closest I had to being hit on stage.
It wasn't even over a good joke.
It was
the thing.
A lot of it, but I don't know. I'm not taking anybody. You don't hit. Chris Rock is in the right. He's in the wrong. It was layered with all kinds of stuff behind the...
Yeah, he's out. I mean, obviously,
imagine he must have been... Will Smith must have been in such a crazy headspace, like nominated for an Oscar, sitting front row, like...
His wife's fucking like hundreds of other people all day long.
Yeah, I didn't even know all about that stuff. Yeah, I didn't even know all about...
Somebody was like, I don't remember a comic. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been Ian Fidan said, oh, he doesn't. His wife can take a dick, but he can't take a joke.
Really? Yeah. I mean, all of that came out. Bravo. 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 Author. He's so smart.
Encore.
I just was in shock that it happened, and that people are like, is it okay to hit a comedian?
We don't need your think piece.
Shut your mouth and just go back to being a human being and human dignity towards people, and that's it. And it was just so. The Oscars just stink to begin with. They really suck. Who cares? First of all, whoever's writing, never mind that Chris Rock's joke. I doubt he wrote the joke. There's a team of writers in the back.
I read today that nothing that he said on stage was part of the pre-programming. He just completely went off the cuff. They said not a single thing he said was...
It wasn't even a good joke.
I think it was a throwaway joke, but he thought it wouldn't go anywhere. But that whole when they... The two people presenting show up at the mic and do that dialogue.
Yeah.
It is the cringiest.
Oh, it's hard.
Every year we feel really glad when we see new cinematomics of da 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 da. Oh, really? Well, you know, in your movie recently, I saw that you played a gerbil. Oh, really? And you played an asshole. So, hey, here we are together representing this next film. And the categories are. It's just.
They did that a lot. They did. Insulted a lot of films in their presentations of the categories. No. They're like, and you know, animation is something we all have to sit through if you have kids. Basically, like, was one of the things.
Wow.
Those of you listening to this, do yourself a favor and Google Don Rickles and who's the gingy, the comedian with the red hair?
Carrot Top?
No, no.
Kathy Griffin?
Kathy Griffin. Don Rickles and Kathy Griffin presented an award somewhere, and they had that dialogue. And Don Rickles was crapping all over the dialogue that they were giving them. He goes, go ahead, take that next joke. What a big bomb. He's like, they thought that was going to be a killer. That sucked. It's jokes like this that got my career to where it is. It is the funniest thing you could ever watch, him crapping on the dialogue that they wrote for them to present that. The Oscars really stinks. They haven't they stink.
Sucked. I accept that.
They just sucked. And Amy Schumer hanging like a pinata. It's not what really? This is what's gonna kill us and get us laughs and all that? It stinks. It really just...
I didn't watch it.
I watched
it. I didn't watch it.
There's no need to watch it. Whatever's good and interesting on it, you can watch on a clip afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
You want to see the winner for the best animatronic of cinematronic of Tronic?
No, the only thing that's remotely interesting are the outfits.
Right, which you can see online. Right, exactly. I don't need to see them walking
through. I've never watched the Oscars.
And let's discuss that.
Kristen Stewart looked great.
But most of them looked... Like they went to Zara, bedazzled a blazer, and put it on and walked out there.
Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Chalamet was okay, so just a wear a dress
in Louis Vuitton.
Kristen Stewart in Chanel, in a little short tuxedo, Chanel open all the way with like a sick diamond necklace. Yeah. She looked hot.
Yeah,
that's it.
And why was the cast of Euphoria?
I've never seen that show. I can't
help
you.
But why are they presenting? Because there's nothing good in the movies for people to present.
I have no
idea. Because they are like pop culture right now.
They're pop culture, right? So
you like that show, don't you?
I love the show. Love Euphoria.
Okay, all right.
But why are they presenting? They're not a movie people. They're TV people. No, streaming has destroyed movies.
I mean, basically, every time you sit down to watch an hour-long episode of Euphoria, you're watching a film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something that has more...
Is it better than RuPaul's Drag Race?
Depends on what season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
What's the best season? Sharon Needles?
No, Drag Race UK season 1.
Oh, okay. No, forget UK, though. Sharon Needles?
What a name.
We've actually made a list of drag names that we...
Hold on.
...that we like... That we would use.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
One of them is Lisa Toyota.
Oh, someone gave that one to us. Yeah.
Was that given?
Okay. Yeah.
Mazel Top.
Mazel Top is a good one.
Okay.
What's the next one?
Drag names. Here we go. Okay. Serotonin.
Amazing.
Sponja, that was you.
Sponja.
That's funny.
Misdiagnosed.
That's good. That's good.
Filibusted.
It's good. Misdiagnosed is good. I have a bag.
Filibusted. Give that a little more than it.
I'm still on misdiagnosed because it's very clever. So
Pollination.
Pollination? Pollination?
Yeah.
No?
Okay. No.
Go ahead. Next.
Missy Wall. I don't understand that one. We did this last time where we read notes and didn't go over well.
Go ahead. Next one.
Busta Nut.
Mary Time Law.
Mary?
Mary space time law, like maritime law, like on the high seas.
Maritime law. Okay, yeah,
think of all the nautical looks you could do.
Right.
Febreze. These are not good.
No, the one
serotonin is good.
Serotonin is good.
I'm surprised that's not taken.
Nina Levine. 9/11. Nina Levine.
Yeah, I think that's funny only to you.
I think that's funny.
No, that's very good.
It's very good.
It's very good. It's very good.
On that note, are you going to be, Modi?
No, hold on. But we are moving to Patreon, aren't we?
We're going to start doing. Patreon.
I set it up.
And ads.
And ads, yes. But we're doing Patreon.
But it has to be up to snuff ads.
They're going to be really good Patreons. We're going to have the first one is how Leo and I met. Second one is. Why you and Guy met? Nothing on that one. Could you laugh louder?
The second one is part two of how you and Leo met.
Okay. No, so, but we're redoing them. I didn't like them.
I know you didn't like them. We're gonna redo.
Where
them.
Am I? I am.
I don't think your next date in the city that's finalized is until May. But
May. But that's gonna be a good show at Gotham Comedy Club. It's gonna be.
But also,
31st of.
It's May 12th.
Oh, May 12th. Okay.
But also, if I may.
Yes.
Your show was so sold out last night.
Yeah.
Both of them. I have a very good girlfriend who is dying to go see you. Donnie, the owner of the club, was like, there are absolutely no seats. It's completely sold out. People are hanging off the chandeliers.
No, they were.
It was.
There were some people.
And I was like, come on. What? Like two.
No, you couldn't fit. I, that's why I couldn't really film last night, because there was nowhere for me to
stand,
sit or stand. I was like crouched on the stairs.
Burich Hashem, thank God. Anyway. These are the problems we have. Could you imagine?
So May 12th.
I set my entire camera up in the back of the room. There was nobody there. We had sound and had five angles. No, you can't film. Okay.
May 12th at Gotham Comedy Club. June 9th at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I'm coming to that.
And there are some more dates coming that are the
and
links
then Passover
are
stuff is coming with a big week and before and after, so it's fun stuff. And thank you for thank you everybody that comes to the shows and then tell us what you think about the podcast, and they love both of you guys.
Yeah, email us or message us. Yes. What do you have
info at modilive.com.
Modi_live, and you are.
And if you like the podcast, you should go to the page, go to Modi's Instagram and click the link in his bio and scroll down to Patreon and subscribe, because
it's going to be different episodes of much more.
It costs money to make these things for you people.
It's not free, guys.
It's not. The gravy train stops here.
The gravy train.
It's kosher for Passover gravy.
That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye, everybody.
That's it. Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.